This is the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. The following khutbah, or sermon, was recorded September the 14th, the year 2001, at the Harvey Islamic Center in Harvey, Illinois. The khatib or teacher is Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Dear believers, assalamu alaikum. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. With Allah's name, the most gracious, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness that there is none to be worshipped except Allah. He's the only God. And we witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. He declares in the peace be upon him. And what follows of that salutation or salute through the seal of the prophets, the last of the prophets, mentioned in the Quran as a prophet that is mentioned in both the Old and New Testament, properly called in Islam the Torah and the Injil, the Torah and the Injil. We see this time that we're living in now as the time of religion, or the day of religion, when matters for mankind regarding how he should live on this earth is coming to a conclusion. The earth is no more an unknown place to be discovered by man. The whole earth is now known by man that didn't exist for us in the time of Muhammad the Prophet. This part of the world had not yet been discovered. But this part of the world is now discovered, and the whole world has come together. It's like a puzzle. And parts of it was missing. Whole continent of North America was missing from it. And the whole continent of South America was missing from it. Then man traveled and moved as God had already predicted through his prophets, or shown his prophets, that it would come, the day would come. Then the whole earth would become one again as it was in the beginning. We're living in the time of the conclusion of things, the day of religion. Never before on this earth did we have the great religions coming together, their leaders coming together in friendship, and working together, discussing the problems of mankind all over the world, and working together for a better earth community for us all, a better home on this earth for us all. Never has that happened in the history of mankind. In the time of Muhammad the Prophet, as we know, God guided him with the Quran, and he also was a man created for the job. He had the logic suitable for the universal connection of mankind. And God guided him to tell the people that the earth was once one community of people on earth. The people of earth was once one community. And by suggestion or by allusion in the language of the Quran, we come to the conclusion that it is saying also that mankind has to one day again become one community. So as he created you in the first instance, so shall you return. And this application is not only to return from the dead, from the grave, when all of us are gone from this earth and have become dust or stones or bones again, we expect the resurrection. But Muhammad the Prophet taught us, peace, prayers, and peace be upon him, that whatever is in the Quran has a direct application and an implied one. That means it has two readings. It has a reading that is obvious to the average language person that can read it, and it has a meaning that has to be given to you by inspiration, by God, by inspiration. He guides you from wherever he pleases. And who he leaves without guidance cannot find guidance. This is God speaking, not me. Praise be to Allah. And Muhammad the Prophet taught his scholars, his students who became scholars. One of them was his wife, as you know. Aisha became a great scholar, one of the scholars, one of the leaders of Islam, of the religion of Islam for the whole world. He taught them that his language was to be regarded in the same way when it comes to understanding it, that what he said had an express meaning and an implied one. One that you, anybody, an ordinary person should be able to read, but the other one, only those blessed by God would be able to read and understand it. And that they would be taught and educated in this religion, and the pure one would come to the right understanding. I'm setting a stage for my presentation. Are creating the condition for you to receive it easily. Now, we know that Muhammad the Prophet also said that there will come a time when you will see Jesus and myself together. Muhammad the Prophet said that. That there will come a time when the people will see Jesus and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them, together. I'm sure that this is the time. And the Prophet also said in his last address called the Last Sermon, he said, listen, for those who are here presently, listen and pass it on to those who are absent. And those who receive it, pass it on still further to others. He said, and maybe the last, perchance, the last to get it will understand it better. Now he said that. So it might not be me, it might not be you, it might not be this following that is with me, called the Muslim American Society, but we should be looking somewhere to see where is that group that he said that might understand it better than others. They shouldn't be in the multitudes. Mm-hmm. That group shouldn't be in the many. That group should be small. Because the most, the many, will not have it correctly. According to Prophet Muhammad's prediction. According to his own saying. The many will not have it correctly. And we see the world of Islam today, most of it is in confusion. Most of it is not in unity. Most of it is not giving their people a comfortable living. Mm-hmm. Only a few who are in ruling positions are in a comfortable situation, and the many are denied a comfortable existence. They can't preach their religion. They can't live their religion as they choose to. I'm speaking of the great majority of Muslim lands. In those lands, those Muslims there cannot preach and live their religion as they believe they should. If they do, they will be locked up, they will be put in jail, some of them might be killed outright, depending on how much they upset the rule, the ruling order. There is no freedom of religion in most of the Islamic countries. The religion is preached according to the government. The government wishes. The government decides how it should be preached. So we have to be understanding what's going on in the Muslim life and in the Muslim world. Mm-hmm. If you're a Muslim here in America, you should know the state of Islam in the world.
Yes.
In the Muslim world. That's the whole world of Muslims. And you should know whether this world of Muslims is in line with the Quran and Muhammad or not. Mm-hmm. Because they are not, if they are not, you don't want to be in line with them.
There it is. All right.
And I'm not in line with them. And I can never be in line with them. And most of the Muslim scholars and educators in this religion, they are not with them. They are persecuted in these Muslim lands. And many of them have left the Muslim lands and come to America and have come to America for the same reason those who were born in Mayflower came over here. So that they can have a country where they can live their religion with their God, and feel comfortable in their heart that they're living the religion as God wanted them to live it. And that's what we want.
Right.
And we're in America. Mm-hmm. And we want that. So it hurts us very badly to see our peace and our good relationship with the citizens of America, the Christians here, hurt
mm-hmm.
by acts of terror.
That's right. Yes.
That's not making us feel comfortable. It makes us feel in danger.
Yes, sir.
That's right. I feel in danger.
Right.
And if my father was here, he would tell you, this is exactly what I'm going to tell you. This is a time that is very dangerous for you, and it's very critical. Allah does not want us putting ourselves unnecessarily in danger.
Right.
You sisters should wear loose-fitting pants, long pants, and wear decent jackets, and you should not be able to be distinguished from anybody else out there in the street. Don't dress so you look like Muslim.
Hmm.
This is not the time for it.
Right.
Dress modestly. That's all Islam has.
Yes.
Don't ask us to have a certain style. Just dress modestly, and don't dress like they expect you to be looking. So, brother, tell your wife, don't go out there dressed in the dress that they're looking for. Just like them, so they can't tell. And if they speak to you, keep your cool. You will be in victory. You be thinking of Allah, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. You be in victory. When they speak to you, Allah will have calm on you. You'll be able to respond to them and not be aggravated. And you will give them a warm look and say, I think you're mistaken, me for somebody else. And they will leave you alone. Believers have gotten hurt in several of the big cities, all the way to Los Angeles, East Coast, from East Coast to West Coast. And we are from our community, not to mention those that are not in our community. Mm-hmm. In our community, sisters are assaulted on the streets by people who are enraged and angry, and they would like to take it out on somebody that they think is of the same mind of those terrorists. They say, well, whatever they believe in is making them behave that way. We know that's not so. It's not the religion that's making them behave that way. It's the desperate situation that they're living in. And maybe it's that test from God. Allah giving them a test. Can you be tested and still keep your Muslim behavior? So they're being tested too. Now, when Muhammad the Prophet gave his Jummah, his khutbah, it was a Jummah khutbah. His last sermon was Jummah khutbah. Did he say, oh, this is my last sermon. Let me read the Quran and do prayers, glorify God. No. Muhammad said, let me address the problems of mankind.
Yes.
That's what he did in his last sermon. He addressed the problems of mankind. The treatment of your brother, respect for his wife, don't violate his rights.
That's right.
Don't violate his property, don't violate his family, don't mistreat the servant, the slave, the person who's down, don't mistreat them, treat them equally with the citizens, with your own sons.
Right.
This is what he discussed with them.
Yeah,
he discussed the problem of the world. And your women, educate them. You men educate two women, you get the two females, you get the paradise.
Yeah.
He saw the concerns at that time. And it was the same concerns we have now, really. They haven't changed. We still have mistreatment of those who are weak financially, those who are uneducated, and the mistreatment of females. We still have all that. Especially in the Islamic world. We have all that. So the Prophet Muhammad wouldn't have been going through this ritualistic formal thing that most of you all expect on Jummah. The Prophet Muhammad would be addressing the problems of mankind, the problems of the world. So why should we be any different?
Right.
We should follow him. We should be like him.
Right.
So we're addressing the serious problem today of terrorism.
Yes.
Prophet Muhammad was a reflection of God's word, the Quran.
his wife Aisha, may God be pleased with her, she said he was the Quran living and walking among us. That's how close he lived it. He lived it so closely that his wife saw him as the book, living among us and walking among us. So the word of God was lived by Muhammad the Prophet. He lived the Quran. And we know, if you get to ask anyone, even those who are driven mad by their circumstances in Palestine and other places, to lose their senses and do the horrible things that they have done in these last several days. I was in Washington, D.C. when the trouble started there. Strange coincidence. I'm invited by the President of these United States to meet with him at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with a few other selected religious leaders, faith-based leaders, faith-based community leaders, to address the problem of profiling. And we're thinking about the average criminal, lawbreaker, or the innocent person who gets arrested, and they take him, just because he's black, they take him to be a criminal before he even have a day in court, mistreat him, etc. We were thinking about that. African-Americans and others who get stopped just because they're suspect in the officer's eye. They're suspect even before catches him committing a crime. We thought we were going to be dealing with a subject like that. No. It's profiling, all right, but it's terrorists.
Yes.
Terrorists. And they are given a certain picture. And now here are the innocent who are suspected because they have the same name, same religion, same dress style. They're suspected. Look how quick they shift from the profiling of the person that's in the street, ordinary citizen, that gets mistreated, to the profiling of all Muslims. All Muslims. Not by a police officer, but just by fanatics. Or people drawn mad. They're drawn, they've been driven insane. And those who have been insane all alone and waiting for a time like this to come out and do and say the things they want, been wanting to do and say all the time. So you have to be very careful. If my father was here, he'd tell your sisters to stay in the house. If it's not absolutely necessary for you to be outside, he'd say, sister, stay in the house.
That's right.
I'm telling you that myself right now. It is not absolutely necessary, sisters, you also stay in the house.
All right.
And if you have to come out, dress so they can't identify you. Praise be to Allah. This serious time, very serious time. I remember the first time when I knew you all had, if you're going to get to the promised land, I knew you were going to have to claim your share of America. You cannot get your share of America until you first claim your share of America. You don't have the spirit to get your share of America if you don't first claim your share of America. Then you'll have the spirit backing you. You'll have the courage and strength inside you to help you get your share of America. Without that, you don't have the energy for it. You don't have the spirit for it. So I actually risked my life. I was raised in this, born in this community. I mean, raised. I was born a follower of the son of Elijah Muhammad, who was following his teaching, and my mother, Grandma Muhammad, who was following his teaching. I was born to them. So I was born inside that teaching. You came, man, most of you came from outside. You had another mind. I never had another mind. I only had the mind they gave me as a baby, a boy, a young man. And I knew what we were capable of doing because I knew what I was capable of doing. If I saw someone really wrecking what my father had started, mm-hmm. or going against what we really believed in and claiming they weren't us, mm-hmm. I knew what I was capable of doing. Mm-hmm. But I knew it was time, and I thought that I had talked to you all long enough to at least have the majority on my side for what I did. Mm-hmm. I think it was a night, it wasn't a Sunday, I don't think. And I took the American flag, it was left there like they were in the time of my father. The our flag, national flag of the nation of Islam on one side of the rostrum, and the American flag on the other side of the rostrum. I went and got the American flag, put it on my shoulder. I said, if you won't carry this flag, I will.
Yeah.
And believe me, I was under mortal fear when I did that. I didn't know, I never felt fear like I felt it when I did that. Because I knew that one brother or one sister could kick others off if they yelled out and said something. And I didn't know how strong their minds were. I knew some of your minds were not with us. As it is now, some of you are not with us. So I took a dangerous chance that you all would beat me to death inside the temple. I know the brothers will get me there, be beating you to death too.
Right.
But there's been blood, there's been blood spilled
right
inside the temple. Blood would have been spilled, you know. So Allah saved us. Nobody even uttered a word, not so I did.
That's right.
And from there on, we kept progressing to this point where we are now. And we are home now.
Yes,
we are home as Muslims and we are home as the citizens of America. That's a big victory. I don't know how you all feel about it. That's a big victory. And as I knew then, that's a victory not only for your heart and your soul and your mind and your spirit, it's a victory also for your pocket.
Yes, sir.
It's a victory for your pocket.
Yes, sir.
You can earn better living now in the United States of America because you have come to this position.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're a strong Muslim, you're sincere about being your Muslim, that you are. You're living your Muslim life, and you're sincere about being a good citizen of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that we are saying that the United States of America has become the Quran. No, we know it's not even the Bible. We depend upon Christians, good Christians, to live the Bible.
Right.
And we depend upon good Muslims to live the Quran.
Right.
We depend upon the government to provide a place for us to practice our religion and not have to fear some other group denying us our freedom to practice our religion. That's all we want from the government. We don't want the government to do 5 prayers a day. That's their business. Do whatever they want. As long as they live up to the honorable responsibility that the citizens of the country has entrusted to them, and that is to have good government by the people, for the people, and to protect the rights of all citizens. That's all we ask for. That's all we ask for. We don't ask them to propagate Islam. We will propagate Islam. We'll do our best to propagate Islam. We don't ask for them to give the true picture of Muslims and Islam. That's our obligation. And if we strive to do our part to present our own life as it should be presented, we will win the respect of other religions and the United States government, as we have won their respect. President Bush met with religious leaders, and both non-Muslim faith groups, Christians and others and Jews, along with President Bush, pleaded to the American people to respect Muslims, respect the religion of Islam, and to respect Muslims. So they're doing their part. They can't do much more than that. So we have to do our part. If you go by to my house, you'll see the United States flag, Old Glory. To me, it's New Glory. Because a long time ago, it wasn't No Glory for us. Because we weren't denied rights, equal rights in this country. So it's New Glory to me, you know. Old Glory is still bad. My memory still remembers Old Glory. It was bad. But this flag is still called Old Glory. So Old Glory, in my mind, New Glory, is pasted on my front window.
Yes, sir.
by me. Go by the end now, you'll see American flag right in my front room window. Sometimes ask the citizens to show the flag. And provided each citizen that received the paper with a flag. So I took it out of the paper and pasted it on my front window. I like the headline so much, I put the headline on my back window, back door window. So on the back door, back of the house is the headline. On the front window is the flag of the United States of America, which is my flag. And what it stands for good people, I will die for. Right now,
right.
Anytime. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and die, right, anytime. I'll die for it. And any time a people are not ready to die for what protects their life, something wrong with you. You need educating better. Yes. You don't have a home anywhere else.
There it is. Right.
You have a home here in the United States of America.
That's it.
And here is where we have come from being slaves in the South. And slaves in the mind of the northern people, and subhuman in the South under the treatment, and subhuman in the North in the eyes of the people. Here we have come from that to being respected now and given equal opportunity to have life in America and progress in America with all other groups, and no one can keep you out of that. You can go to the court and defend your rights if someone trying to hold you back.
Right.
And you will receive the support of the courts if you are standing on solid ground.
Right.
If you're not lying, if you're not a hypocrite, if you're not someone who's doing something to undermine the system, your rights will be protected and you will be afforded your rights. I'm going to bring this by conclusion pretty quickly. But you understand these things. Colin Powell is loved so much by American people of power. That if he wanted to run for vice president or president, he could.
That's right.
And he's an African American. So for us African Americans, not just Muslims, for us African Americans, we should realize that we have paid a big price to be where we are today in this country.
Yes.
We have paid with life, with blood, with life. We have paid with time and energy, labor, but not much for it. We have paid with our hearts, with our suffering souls.
Yes.
We have paid a big, big price.
Right.
And now, God has rewarded us through good people of different colors. He has rewarded us now. Has given us the benefit of a beautiful political order, constitution, etc., that was designed for the best of people on this earth. Now he has brought us to be recognized as being qualified to enjoy this with the best of people of earth. You know what the white folks who've been watching the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and watching his son, and I would say Farrakhan too, Mr. Farrakhan, you know what they're thinking when they're looking at us? They're thinking that we are the people now that's in partnership with them, and no matter what happens to this country, we're going to stand by it and make it better, but not leave it.
Yes.
That's what they expected. That's what they did. The country wasn't always beautiful. But the idea, the promise was beautiful, as Dr. King said. The promise, he called it the promise. The promise was beautiful, but the country wasn't beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the country is beautiful and you are awake, you awaken in your human nature of excellence, of human excellence, you have awakened. And now you have impressed big white folks. You think I'll be invited to see Bush? I didn't go for it. it's what I represent that caused them to invite me. Not me. So we are living in a time when we have risen to great heights and have big people, the most powerful people in the United States of America, looking at us as partners.
Yes.
They're looking at us as partners. We have angels
God has given us angels to work with us, to live with us.
Yes, sir.
I know this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This is too much for us to let somebody say they must touch our hearts. It's a waste. If I saw a crazy dog looking to run into the traffic, going against traffic and trying to hurt them, I feel sorry for that crazy dog. But I ain't gonna get hit by the traffic. I'll be out there in the traffic and try to stop from getting hit. You have to, even if it's your own child, if it was my son, Mom, or my son, Sandra, or my daughter, Dina, or Layla, had done something like that, you know what I was going to do? Get to them before anybody else.
There it is. Yes, sir.
And put them out of their misery.
Yes, sir.
All right. As easy as I could.
Yes, sir.
Yes. But that, your son or my son could have been killed in some of those places. They weren't looking for the guilty.
No.
They're just looking for people, American citizens. And targeting places where they would get to send a signal. They want to send a big signal out. So they target certain places. You could have been there.
Yeah.
In fact, I believe we don't find out soon. Some of them of our community, I bet you have died.
Yeah.
In one or another of those programs. I bet you we lost somebody from our own community. Because
right.
Our people are in those things now.
Right.
Now, listen for us, you. Think about, I just been many, but just think about Colin Powell, the position he's in now.
Yeah,
he's in a position to be vice president or president of the United States. He's in a position to even be president of the United States without the votes.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Because if I remember the ruling, the law and the ruling, the Secretary of State is in line for the president. So who knows what could happen? That's close.
Yeah.
Whether he never gets to be president or not. That's close.
Very
close. That's real close.
Yes,
and I know he can get support from the citizens of the country if he wants to run at some time in the future for vice president or the presidency of these United States. So we should see the value that we have now as a people and the value we have in great figures like Colin Powell. And the white folks, all of them, they don't get what I'm saying to. All the white folks of this country and the world, really, because many of them in Europe that had a hand in our enslavement. And Arabs, whoever had a hand in it, they should look at us now.
Yes, sir.
And those who've been responsible for the law in this country, they're gone, they're in the green, they're dead. But if they can hear me, I want to tell them, don't you feel awfully bad now in hell or wherever you are, in your grave? Don't you feel awful bad that your civilization that you claim and your Christian life that you claim, knowing that you held back many Colin Powell.
Yes.
You could have had Colin Powell 200 years ago.
Had
Colin Powell 100 years ago. You could have had great black people standing by you and making your government stronger and your civilization better.
Yes.
If you had not written us off as subhuman.
Yes, sir.
Allah says in this book that I have before me right now that I'm going to be reading from, this book, not let the hatred for people to you cause you to do wrong.
Yes.
And swerve from justice or from what is just. Says, be just.
Yes.
At any cost.
Yes.
Doesn't say at any cost, but that's the understanding. Be just.
Yes.
For it is the closest to taqwa.
All right.
For it is the closest to the consciousness that God wants in the believer. And they call it piety in this translation.
Mm-hmm.
It is the closest, it is closest to piety, or it is next to piety, they say, it says. The language says it is next to piety, or closest to piety. Taqwa, this consciousness that God wants in the believers. And it also suggests that it is the strongest position you can take.
Yes.
It is the closest to righteousness and piety, and it is also a position that requires great strength.
Yes.
It takes great strength.
Yes.
God says, do be just.
Mm.
Though it be against a near relative,
right,
or against a person, big or small. Sometimes you can't help it, you got to send the big shot that can pay your bill or give your son a good job. You owe him something. So when he leaves before the court, you don't want to go in the court against him. Well, a Muslim can't do that because God says whether it's a big man or a small, you're supposed to stand for justice. There's only one right, and when you put the right down, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you leave right, you're wrong. No other way. Right or wrong. Yes. So look at what they're doing now. So, well, in this case, you know, God says, if you're starving and you can't find any meat except pork, you can eat the pork in moderation until you can get some halal meat or something suitable to eat.
Mm.
Is that behavior moderation? Let's say that this is a time of desperation, you know. This is a desperate time for the Palestinians and for the believed Muslims of the world who can't get justice. Let's say it's a desperate time for them. It's the behavior that we see in them, in New York, in Washington, in this event. Is this behavior now, in moderation, where they're eating the pig, they're doing it wrong, but they're doing it no more than enough just to survive, they go to their moderation.
No.
Then there's no justification forever for killing, mistreating, innocent
persons. Right.
If we would ask ourselves, Muslims, peaceful Muslims, or those who have resorted to terrorism, any of us, no matter how extreme we are, if we would ask ourselves, would Prophet Muhammad kill innocent children, women, men, elderly people, just to get at the enemy? Would he do that?
No.
We know he would. The worst of us would say no, Prophet would do that. So we are not allowed to do it then.
That's right.
We can't do what he did. He wouldn't allow himself to do it.
That's right.
I come to join you today in prayer. You know, Daniel Green told me that we're going to have prayer here today. So I come to join you in prayer. Praying for peace, praying for the souls that have been murdered, those people that have been murdered, and praying also for the victims who are suffering in hospitals and their other places, and praying for peace for the Palestinians and the Israelis.
Yes.
Because we know that that's perhaps the situation that's contributing and motivating these people more than anything else to do what they're doing. Mm-hmm. I want to read now before I ask. And I will read in English. And of course, I want you to understand. You won't understand, most of you won't understand Arabic. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Blessed is he who set down the criterion. The criterion means the rule or the logic that we must apply when trying to form judgments and make decisions. And it's the standard. It's the standard. Set down the criterion to his servant, meaning Muhammad the Prophet. But it was sent down to others before him, that's why I said his servant, not to him by name, but meaning him directly, Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, that it may be an admonition, a warning.
Mm-hmm.
In the translation here it says to all creatures, but what does it actually say? Al-Alameen. And then Alameen means all the world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. That it may be for all the world an admonition, or warning, or warning. And you know that the language Nabir, Nabir, means warner. That's one of the name of prophets, messengers in God. Messages and prophets of God. They are called warners, and the word is Hadith. So we have to understand that Muhammad the Prophet is not just to Muslims. He's not just a leader sent to Muslims.
Right.
And this is the day, this is his day. Actually, Muhammad the Prophet, his leadership is leading the world today.
Right.
All of this respect for education, public education did not exist in the mind of rulers before Islam.
Mm-hmm.
It was Muhammad bringing public education, making steps in public education, and requiring that all citizens be educated. He's the one that led this movement for public education. He's the one that led the movement for the freedom of religion.
Right.
He freed Christianity.
Yeah.
He freed Judaism.
Right.
And he had the Muslims protect their sacred places and also their relics.
Right.
That sacred relic, the Muslims had to protect it
with
their lives.
That's right.
If those places were in Muslim land or territory under Muslim government, under protection of Muslim government, the Muslims had to protect churches and synagogues with their lives if necessary.
Right, right.
And you go to overseas now to Muslim lands like Egypt and many other places, you'll find churches that's been there ever since the day of the Prophet.
That's right.
They were there then, they're still there.
That's right.
So we have to understand these things. He's a messenger to, he's a warner to all the world. And he's a mercy to all the world.
That's right.
But if he's an adil, a warner to all the world. And he also says, Rahmatan lil'alamin. He is a mercy to all the world.
Right.
So Prophet Muhammad is not just for Muslims.
There it is.
He's for humanity.
Yes.
He's the last prophet from God for all humanity. So who should have the beautiful constitution about human rights and the dignity of the human person and their right to have their life, freedom, liberty, pursuit of happiness, etc. Their right to have all that under God, their creator. Who should have that in their constitution? The Muslims. Because that language is more in accord with the Prophet's leadership than it is in accord with any other leadership.
That's right.
It's his leadership that came for that. They says, fight them until there's no more persecution. Until there's no more persecution.
The fanatics read that, and they don't hear the whole language. They're looking for one thing, fight.
Right, right.
And all they hear is fight.
Right.
Fight them until there's no more persecution. Mm. So who are they fighting? Mm. They were fighting those who are persecuting them because of their religion. Saying they're still treated like this for no other reason than that you say you believe in God.
That's right.
That's what all I said, they're living in the Quran.
Yeah. Right.
So they were being mistreated and beaten and killed for no other reason that they wanted to worship God in Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So the Prophet was told to fight those people who were persecuting them until there's no more persecution. And look at the language that follows it. It makes it very clear what it's all about. And religion is free for God. So he was a person fighting to liberate religion.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't doing it only to liberate Muslims, so Muslims and new people and on earth would have the freedom to practice that religion, the new religion, on this earth, according to man's knowledge, but so that Christians too would have the freedom to practice their religion, and Jews too would have the freedom to practice their religion.
Right.
And this is all established very clearly in the history of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something you have to say and guess about it or wonder.
God has been incarnated in his dominion, that means in his rule.
Right.
In his kingdom of rule, in his rule. It is he who created all things and ordered them in due proportion. Yet have they taken beside him gods that can create nothing, but are themselves created, that have no control of hurt or good to themselves, nor can they control death, nor life, nor resurrection. I didn't read this for all of that, just for one part. They have no control.
Yes,
not only those who claim to be a God, but those who follow other ways. Those who even follow the way of the book. We even Muslims. We have no control of hurt, harm, or death or good. It's Allah who decides who will get good, who will get bad.
All right.
Who will be hurt?
Yes.
Who will not be hurt?
Mm.
So don't say, oh, those people lost their lives. God knows it.
Right.
God knows it.
Right.
We regret it, but it couldn't happen without God permitting it. Those innocent lives could not have been taken without God permitting it. And those perpetrators, those terrorists, those insane persons who did the horrible things, they couldn't have done it without God's permission. They couldn't have died without God's permission. So what are we to do about this? Are we just going to stand still and tell afraid to speak? I'm not afraid to speak. Can't make comments, it's too serious, it's too serious. No, I'm not afraid to speak. We have to speak.
Yes, sir.
What's going to come out of this? This is an awakening for the great powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
This awakening for our beautiful and great country.
Yes.
An awakening to help us come back to our better self.
Yes.
To our better selves.
Yes.
This is time coming now when we can lose a lot of our good quality as American people.
That's the fact. Yes, sir.
But this tragedy, this great tragedy, where lives of innocence are sacrificed, given, should not be in vain. I wouldn't want to think that this is in vain.
Go ahead.
I would want to think that those people were unwilling martyrs.
Yes.
Right. The innocent that have died. They are unwilling martyrs. They are martyrs that weren't prepared for martyrdom.
Right.
But nevertheless, that death is going to affect this country and the world like the death of saintly martyrs.
Yes.
Because they were innocent.
Yes.
There might have been among them a drunk or gambler.
Yes, sir.
But he's no more drunk or gambler.
He's a person who was innocently killed, and his life is going to make America a better America.
Yes,
the life that was taken from him is going to make America a better America.
Yes.
It's going to make the world a better world.
Yes.
So they haven't died in vain.
Yes.
Their death is going to wake up us, going to wake up the people in power, going to wake up many.
Yes.
For them to research and look back and say, could we have done these things better?
Right.
Is there something that we could have done better?
Right. That's right.
Here in America.
Right.
In the Middle East.
Right.
Is there something that we could have done better? But it's a wake-up call, and yes it is.
Yes.
As the papers are saying, it's a wake-up call.
Yes.
Yes. I don't think I'm soft on the terrorists.
No.
No. A lethal injection is the quickest and the easiest way. Because they are no good for themselves and no good for anybody else.
There it is.
All right. That's it.
If God has willed that they be used, God has not willed that they be respected. God put a lot of things here to be used,
right,
but not respected.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And if they had listened to the Quran, they wouldn't have gone through those extremes.
There it is.
If they had followed Muhammad the Prophet, they wouldn't have gone through those extremes. So they are really out of the circle, out of the circle and framework of Islam.
That's it.
With their conduct.
That's it.
So we're not talking about Muslims. We are talking about terrorists.
Yeah,
yeah. Now, let's get to the verses and come now to verse 45, section 5. This is the criteria, Surah Al-Kufr Qur'an. Hast thou not seen how thy Lord doth prolong the shadow? If he willed, he could make it stationary. Then do we make the sun its guide. Then we draw it in towards ourselves. A contraction by easy stages. And he it is who makes the night as a robe for you, and sleep as a repose, that means rest, for rest, and makes the day as if it were a resurrection.
Yes.
We are living in a great day. I continue. And he it is who sends the winds as heralds of glad tidings. That means messengers,
yes,
of good news,
yes,
heralds of glad tidings,
right,
going before his mercy,
right,
going before his mercy. For the winds blow, and they're strong and violent sometimes. And they're going before his mercy. His mercy is coming behind him.
Yes.
And we send down pure waters from the sky. Yes. The waters are going to be pure now.
Mm-hmm.
After the winds, the waters are going to be pure. That with it we may give life to the dead land. To the dead land.
Mm-hmm.
Dead land. Heart's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings dead.
Mm-hmm.
And slake the thirst of things we have created. Isn't this beautiful?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
sir. Yes. Those who have been suffering the dryness and hotness of the world, they are thirsty. And God said he's going to slake the thirst. He's going to give them water to drink, take away the thirst.
Mm-hmm.
Of things we have created, cattle and men in great numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Cattle. God cares about cattle.
Yes.
Not just people.
Yes.
Muhammad said, see that you don't hurt trees.
Yes.
Right.
Don't destroy those things that the people have to depend upon after the war.
Right.
That's the leader we follow.
Yes.
Peace and blessings be on him.
Right.
I continue now, verse 50. And we have distributed the water amongst them, in order that they may be mindful. But most men are adverse to harsh, but ingratitude, rank ingratitude. Meaning they're not willing to go this way. All they want to do is follow the path of those who are not thankful and appreciative unto God. Had it been our will, we could have sent a warner to every town. Therefore, listen not to the unbelievers, but strive against them with utmost striving. And he has here with the Word of God, because that's your best instrument in struggle.
Yeah.
The Word of God is Muhammad's own example, own example.
Yes.
Continuing now, it is he who has let free the two bodies of flowing water, one palatable and sweet. Meaning it's still it's nice to the mouth.
Yeah.
When it is nice.
Yeah. That sea water you put in your mouth right over your mouth is in a lot of trouble.
When it is said to them, adore you, the most gracious, they say, and what is the most gracious? Shall we adore that which you commanded us? And it increases them in aversion.
They do nothing but get worse and worse.
Right. When you try to call them to with the sweet language, they get worse and worse. Blessed is he who made constellation of stars in the skies, and placed therein a lamp, a sun, and a moon giving light. And it is he who made the night and the day to follow each other. For such as desire to be mindful are to show their gratitude, show that they're thankful. And the servants of God, most gracious, are those who walk on earth in humility.
Yes.
Humble.
Yes.
Not proud, not boasters.
Yes.
And when the ignorant address them, they say, Salam. Peace.
Yes.
Salam. They say peace. This is a serious time.
Yes.
When the ignorant address you, say with your face, with your looks, with your heart, with your feelings, I wish you nothing but peace.
Yes.
You got the wrong person.
Yes, sir.
I'm not a terrorist. I'm a peaceful person.
Yes.
Trying to serve my God.
Yes.
Through my service to mankind.
Yes.
Continuing. Those who spend the night in adoration of their Lord, prostrate and standing, these are Muslims.
Yes.
While others are asleep, they're standing up for the prayer. The night prayer,
yes.
Standing up and bowing down, prostrating with their faces on the forehead on the floor, nose on the floor. Those who say, Our Lord, avert from us the wrath of the hellfire, for its wrath is indeed an affliction grievous.
Mm-hmm.
Now this has two applications. When this world is finished, there will be hellfire for those who deserved it.
That's right.
And there will be the waters of the rivers that run deep underneath, and the paradise in the garden for those who earned it.
Mm-hmm.
But it has another application. What is it talking about? This life.
Yes.
So what has happened has thrown Muslims into hell.
Yes.
We're in hell.
Yes.
This is a burning time for us.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
And for all true God-fearing people,
mm-hmm.
This is a burning time for us. For us, it's a burning time for the Palestinians.
Yes.
But we're surviving. Evil indeed it is, as an abode. Who wants to live in these conditions? We want to see them pass quickly.
Yeah.
And as a place to rest in. Can't rest in this condition. We can't rest now. There's no rest for us now.
Mm-hmm.
Until the thing becomes normal again. Situation has to become normal again for us to rest. Those who, when they spend, are not extravagant and not niggardly. They don't waste money, and they are not so tight-fisted they can't help worthy causes.
Mm-hmm.
They spend, but not extravagantly, but hold a just balance between those extremes, not giving and wasting, and not denying just causes, your support, your family members, your community, your obligation to your religion, etc. Those who invoke not with Allah another God, nor slay such life as Allah has made sacred, except for just cause, nor commit fornication. And any that does this, not only meets the punishment, but the chastisement on the day of judgment will be doubled to them, will be doubled to him, and he will dwell therein in ignominy. And that's the worst punishment.
Yes.
When you don't have anybody looking at you. Nobody saying, oh, that's the guy that took down the trade center, the world's trade center. No, Allah's going to deal with you.
Yes.
And you ain't going to have nobody reckoning, no TV, no prime time.
There it is.
Nobody seeing you what your punishment will be. Nobody in court but you.
There it is.
Not even an attorney. You won't even have an attorney. Be you and God. And God won't even speak to you.
That's
God says he will not speak to such. You get good punishment.
That's it.
Now, isn't this a merciful God? Even those who go to the extreme, look what God says. Unless he repents, believes, and work righteous deeds. Even persons go to those extremes, having false gods with God, mistreating the righteous, committing fornication, etc. You go to those extremes, but God's mercy extends beyond his wrath, these are his words.
That's right.
His mercy extends beyond his wrath, goes further than his wrath. Says, unless he repents, believes, and works righteous deeds. For Allah will change the evil of such persons into good. Now you know, for them, they're dead. They kill themselves to kill innocent.
Yes.
They kill other innocent. To get at the ones that they say is guilty. The United States government. To get at the United States government, they kill themselves and other innocent. So we know they have no chance on this side. The only chance they have is on the other side. Is life over for them? It's like over for the Klansmen that hung blacks on trees and set fire beneath them and burnt their bodies while they were still alive.
Yes,
you think life was over for them when they died in their beds? No! Life is not over for them. Punishment is not gone.
Right.
They're going to be awakened.
Yes, sir.
In a new court.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And whoever repents and does good has truly turned to Allah in repentance.
Right.
So those who haven't gone to those extremes still have a chance. Hear the word of Allah. Hear the word of God.
Right.
And turn back before it's too late.
Right.
I'm speaking to us and any who reach these words may reach. Hear these words and stop so your life can be saved.
Yes.
And the only way your life can be saved, you have to turn from your wrong or evil way. And you have to ask Allah for forgiveness.
Right.
Repent.
Right.
And then show that your repentance was sincere by following it up with good deeds, righteous deeds.
Right.
And if you do that, then Allah will change the evil for you of yourself to into good. And Allah is forgiving. Most merciful. We'll go now to the second verse. Those who witness no falsehood. This world is messed up because there are too many people seeing falsehood and will stand by falsehood, give falsehood their verbal support, and also physical support, and if not that, they give it silent support.
Yes.
Won't speak out against it.
Yes.
those who witness no falsehood, and if they pass by futility, nonsense, stupid stuff that's happening all the time and catching us. Too many of us are caught up in a life of silly living, silly thinking, silly behavior, fun all the time, yes. Never get serious.
Yes.
You got to come out of that.
That's right.
When they pass by futility, they pass by it with honorable avoidance. They keep their dignity. They keep their self-respect. And they avoid being influenced by it or giving into it. Those who, when they are admonished with the signs of their Lord, droop not down at them as if they were deaf and or blind, like some of you all do when I'm talking to you here this sinner. All of a sudden. I'll be talking to you and you do this. You want to make me think you're sleeping. You can't speak when I'm talking, buddy. You're pretending. And those who pray, our Lord, yes, this is time for prayer. Those who pray, our Lord, grant unto us wives and offsprings who will be the comfort of our eyes. Shouldn't we see this time here right now as being very so critical for us that we should be looking beyond our life expectancy?
Yes, sir.
And we should be wondering how our children and grandchildren are fare in this world?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
And shouldn't we be praying to God to keep them in the good pastor?
Yes.
Our wives and our children?
Yes.
So in the hereafter, we will be given news of them?
Yes.
That they were honorable till the last.
Right.
That they kept that good character till the end.
Yes,
they died Muslims.
Right.
And believers.
Yeah. Right.
Grant unto us wives and offspring who will be the comfort of our eyes, and give us the grace to lead the righteous.
Yes.
Give us the grace to lead the righteous.
Yes, sir.
Anyone can lead bad people.
Yes.
We want leaders, a lot of best us with leaders who can lead the righteous.
Yes. Yes.
And we pray to him that he will give us such leaders that will be able to lead the righteous. Lead people into righteousness. Lead sinners into righteousness. Lead criminals out of criminal behavior into righteousness. That's the most honorable job anyone has. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. With Allah's name, with God's name, most gracious, most beneficent, most gracious, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We pray prayers and peace upon Muhammad the Prophet, the most honorable and generous of mankind, a model for all who believe in God and the last day. Being accountable to God, as God says of him. We ask Allah to give us in this life good, and in the next good, and save us from the punishment of the fires of sin. We ask Allah to not allow our hearts to deviate. These are trying times. And many of us have come a long way to embrace the truth of God and the truth of the family of mankind, of the family of human beings on this earth. Let us not allow these other things that are happening and the forked tongues of those who claim to be Muslim leaders cause us to take the wrong side and begin to think that we should maybe be seeing this terrorist act as a sacrifice by innocent Muslims who desperately want the American people to be even-handed, the government to be even-handed in the Middle East.
Mm.
That sounds beautiful.
Mm.
But that is terribly incorrect.
Yes.
And it is very poisonous.
Yes.
If you accept that, it will poison your soul, it will poison your spirit, it will poison your mind, and you will be sent back away from the good character that you have been blessed to come into,
mm-hmm.
and you will lose your soul and your future with God.
Yes.
Do not allow any explanation for the kind of murderous things that have happened to innocent people here in Washington, D.C., and in New York and other places, causes you to waver in your thoughts. No. Our love is for God. Our love is for Muhammad the Prophet. And when people disgrace their claim to be followers of the Word of God, and disgrace their claim to be followers of Muhammad the Prophet, by going to such extremes where they are no more human, they are monsters.
Yes.
They're just machines.
Right.
Carrying out a horrible act.
Right.
We have to let our heart go only to God and His messenger and to the decent Muslims who live and respect the religion as it should be respected. So don't let yourself sympathize with the terrorists, not in any way. Not in any way.
Right.
Don't say, well, it wouldn't have happened if that had happened. No.
No.
They're the ones that had their test. The Middle East was a test for them. And they failed their test.
Amen.
They got out of their Muslim life and behavior.
Right.
And they got into the behavior of demons.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Suicidal demons.
Yes. Right.
So they are the ones to be written off.
That's right.
And we are not to try to reason with anybody who wants us to reason with them. Now, I know many Muslims in America, African Americans too with us, I know where your hearts are. Your hearts are so strained by hurt from the past and by your own failure to give yourself a better existence. You just blame America, you blame white folks, you blame America, and anything that happens against America, you're ready to applaud. You're ready to say, Allahu Akbar, all praise to Allah. Yeah, okay, you can do that. I feel sorry for you.
Me too.
And I'm going to pray for you still.
Hmm.
You can do that, but you don't have a friend in me.
There it is.
And if war break out here, as old as I am, if I knew you were on the other side, I'd kill you. God is my witness. I have somebody kill you, I kill you myself,
yes,
if I knew you were fighting against what we stand for,
yes,
and against America, that's really the only country that's working for human life. Only one that's taking risk and spending taxpayers' money to help human conditions get better.
That's right.
The rest of them are doing very little.
That's it.
They spend most of their money, jihad, Las Vegas,
yes,
etc. So we know the facts. We know what's happening.
No.
Okay. Allahumma salli wa rahmna wa khulna jannati ma'al abrar. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا افرغ علينا صبرا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين سبحانك ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين.
Be sure to join us next time for the national public broadcast of W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American Society leader. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-798-6653. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.